This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a community church located in Aurora, Illinois. For more information, go to orchardvalleyonline.com.
There's nothing like Christmas classics, are there? And you know, it's funny because it all begins the day after Thanksgiving, doesn't it? Complete madness in the local malls, and then of course there's sort of that 28-day countdown consisting of, you know, carolers and concerts and football games and presents and parties and lights and trees and eggnog and everything else, all building up to that big day, Christmas. But you know, it's amazing to me how even in the midst of the hectic schedules and the running from here to there and all of that, how we still somehow always find time to enjoy the Christmas classics. You ever notice that? In fact, about a week ago, Amanda had gone out for the day, and I had the girls at home, and I tell you what, it wasn't long before we found ourselves kicking back on the couch watching this great Christmas classic, of course, White Christmas. And what a movie. I mean, what an era. You know what I mean? I always think, man, it'd be cool to live back in that era, you know, but then, of course, we wouldn't have email, and what would we do? Anyway, but no, you know, 1954, what a time. You have Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Rosemary Clooney. I mean, what a Christmas classic, White Christmas. Well, you know, interestingly enough, the real White Christmas was not popularized by Bing Crosby. In fact, it was actually written about a few thousand years ago by a prophet named Isaiah. And in fact, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the prophet uses just an absolutely beautiful illustration to make perhaps one of the most important observations of all time. And I'd like to look at that scripture this morning. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says this: "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Could we read that last part of the scripture? Let's read together. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." I tell you what, there is absolutely nothing more beautiful, I think, than freshly fallen snow. I mean, just looking out the window, seeing that fresh powder, I mean, it sure beats old, you know, yellow snow, doesn't it? And, but there's nothing like waking up in the morning and you open your shades or you look out your window and there's this beautiful, freshly fallen snow. I mean, just nothing like it. You go turn on the Christmas jazz or the Nutcracker and put a little hot chocolate on the stove and fire up the fireplace and just kick back. I mean, there's nothing like it. It's really great. And I tell you, I just love this scripture where God promises us that He will take our dirty, our stained, messed up lives. That says He'll take them and He will make them white as snow. What a beautiful and just an important and vital promise given to us by our Creator. And it's called forgiveness. Would you say that word with me this morning? Forgiveness. It's quite a word. This morning I want to spend a few minutes talking about the power of forgiveness. And not only from God's perspective towards mankind, but from your perspective and mine as individuals. Because here's the thing, not only is this a wonderful time of the year to reflect and remember the birth of our Savior, who of course brought with Him forgiveness of sins and redemption for all of mankind, but it's also a great time of the year to make sure that you and I are people who receive and welcome and give away this thing called forgiveness. But you know, let's be honest about it. Forgiveness isn't always easy, is it? That's just not. I mean, there are times that it is just really hard to forgive people. Now, of course, there's the small things in life that happen to us that are generally easy to forgive. You know, small things are generally easy to forgive people for. You know, I mean, your wife backs out of the driveway, hits the mailbox. Hey, you know, that's okay, maybe not. Maybe that's one of those difficult things. Or how about this? Someone cuts you off on the tollway, and they pull up next to you, and they look at you, and they go, "I'm sorry." And of course, what do you do? Well, hopefully you forgive them. I mean, I highly doubt that you're still going to be upset about that a week later. If you are, you probably need to take an anger management class or something, you know. But, you know, the small things in life generally are pretty easy to get over and let go of. But then there are those situations. There are those experiences that we find ourselves in throughout our lives that really make it feel difficult. And sometimes I think almost makes it feel impossible to forgive someone. And you know, in those times, you've probably been there, I know I've been there, in those times that, I mean, you can know that forgiveness is the right thing. And you can know how important it is to forgive someone and yet still be convinced that you just can't do it. I mean, I talk to people all the time who know they need to forgive someone, and for whatever reason, they just choose not to. I mean, look, I've been there in my life. There have been times in my life where I have really struggled with this whole forgiveness thing. And I know, and my guess is that there are those of you sitting here today who are probably saying to yourself, okay, Scott, great, you know, a message on forgiveness, and I know it's in the Bible, and I know it's important, but you have no idea what I've been through. You have no idea what that person did to me. You have no idea what I've been through. And you know what? You're right. I don't know what you've been through. And I'll tell you, every time I hear something like that, it breaks my heart. And I wish I could stand up here today and tell you that forgiveness is always easy. Or that I wish I could just kind of offer you some magical, you know, or maybe some churchy sounding cliche about how to do it and just get over it. But unfortunately, I can't do that because there is none. But I can assure you of this. God never tells us to do something that isn't for our benefit or for the benefit of someone else. And in fact, not only that, but whenever God tells us to do something, do you know he never expects us to do something that he has not already done for us? I mean, when God tells us to forgive someone, look, God's not just saying forgive someone and figure out how to do it. God has led the way. And he has shown us how to forgive. God always, say always. Come on, say always like you really believe this. God always steps in and gives us the grace and the strength and the power to do what's right. There's a story in the Bible where Peter asks Jesus a question about forgiveness. And basically, Peter asked Jesus, he said, okay, Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive someone who's done me wrong? How many times? In fact, let me show you the scripture, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. It says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? And Jesus is like, seven? No! He says, try 70 times seven. Face, you know? And obviously Jesus was like trying to make a very important point here, and he was trying to say, look, forgiveness is important. And not only is it important, but you need to be willing to follow my example and forgive as often as necessary. And so, since our desire is to be followers of Jesus, and I'm assuming you're here today because either you want to follow Jesus or you're curious about following Jesus, and I think that since that's what we're here to do, I say we need to pay close attention to responses like this one that Jesus gave. And in this case of forgiveness, he tells Peter and he tells us that you and I, should be people of forgiveness. You know, there are a lot of great reasons to forgive someone. And let me give you a couple of reasons. In fact, if you have your bulletin, you can take that out. There's a few spots where you can just take some notes in. But there are a lot of good reasons to forgive someone. God gives us a lot of incentive for doing it, of course. But let me give you one, okay? For one, here's the deal. God wants us to be people of forgiveness because, first of all, I have been forgiven. That's right. I've been forgiven. And so have you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm forgiven. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus describes this guy. Kind of a short, little, shrewd dude. And picture like Danny DeVito, okay? And the guy's name was Zacchaeus. And see, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Sorry. I just had Sunday school flashback right there. Zacchaeus was a guy who was just like, he was sort of up to no good, okay? Zacchaeus liked to rip people off. And, I mean, he was like ripping off his fellow people. He worked for the Hebrew government, and he was secretively taking money for himself from these people. Well, one day, Jesus runs in to Danny DeVito. Oh, I'm sorry, Zacchaeus. I was just seeing if you're awake. And he says to him, "Hey, Zach, let's go to your house. Me and you, we need to hang." And they go hang out, and as a result of this interaction, Zacchaeus experiences the forgiveness of Jesus. And he experienced the salvation that Jesus has to offer. And not only does he experience forgiveness, but the Bible tells us that he actually walked out and he told all the people that he had ripped money off from, he said, not only am I gonna pay you back, but I'm gonna pay you back times four for everything that I took from you. You see, Zacchaeus realized that he was a much forgiven person. And that is a wonderful thing to realize. Some of you can think back when you first learned this or you first heard that you are a forgiven person. It's a hard thing to comprehend, but when you really get it, it's amazing. We are much forgiven. And this is a powerful story of a guy who experienced the forgiveness of Christ in his life, and then as a result, he made things right with the people that he had hurt. Let me ask you a question this morning. Where are you at with this whole forgiveness thing? Well, I mean, where are you at with it? Are you harboring a hurt in your life? Is resentment stirring inside of you? You know, for some people, resentment just sort of stirs over and over, like kind of like a rotisserie grill. It's just going and going. This resentment just goes and goes and goes. And I think probably for some of us, the reason that we struggle with forgiveness, especially in terms of forgiving others, is because we have bought into this myth that says, you know what? Okay, if I forgive someone, that means that I have to trust them immediately. Or if I forgive someone, it means that I have to approve of them. Well, let's talk about that. I mean, sure, the Bible challenges us and commands me that I should forgive other people, but it doesn't mean that I have to approve of their behavior. And it certainly doesn't mean that my trust of them should just be automatic. You know, Amanda and I have gone through some very interesting journeys of forgiveness. You know, we have felt the pain of being hurt by people very close to us, to the point that trust factor was just cut off. And, I mean, some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been in situations like that. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe worse yet, it was a spouse or a loved one, someone you cared greatly about. And I'll tell you, for me, through this journey, there were a handful of things that I've really, you know, just in life, when you go through things, you begin to learn some different perspectives. And one of the things I realized was that forgiveness is not necessarily about a feeling. See, a lot of us think, well, okay, until I feel like forgiving someone, then I shouldn't do it. I got to feel it first, then do it. But here's the thing, as I think about this in my mind, I believe that part of what makes following Christ different from following anyone else or anything else is the constant reminders that we're given in the Scriptures that tell us that there are times in our lives when our quote-unquote feelings should not be a driving factor in what we do or don't do. There are times that God tells us, do not rely on your feelings. Do not rely on what you see, taste, feel, or hear. And I think forgiveness is one of those times. And so I believe that forgiveness is much more about a decision than it is about a feeling. And I believe it starts by just taking a step of faith, even though you may not feel like it. Even though that pain might still be very real or very fresh, even though you might be afraid to forgive, but still stepping out in faith and saying, okay, God has forgiven me, and I must forgive this person. And I also think that this is one of the most important steps in terms of getting the kind of healing that you need in terms of being hurt by someone. Because you know what? There are times that that pain is very real, very difficult, and you feel that pain. And I can tell you this in my own life, that the times when I finally stepped out in faith and offered forgiveness to someone, that healing in my own life began to happen and take place. And I think it starts by simply asking God to help you learn how to forgive this person. I visited someone a while back who had been hurt by an individual physically, and they were really struggling with this whole forgiveness thing. And they were just in intense pain and difficult moment. And I remember saying to that person, I didn't preach a sermon, I didn't get in their face and say, you've got to forgive. But the thing that I said was, you know what, just ask God to help you to learn how to forgive. Just ask God to help you. Because, see, I know for me, forgiveness is not always this, like, single magical moment. I mean, I found that so many times in my life that forgiveness is more of a journey that I go on. But I can also say that there are times, and there comes a moment, when you and I have to be willing to say to God, okay, God, I'm going to forgive this person. And God, I release this individual. And then ultimately, of course, going to that person who has done me wrong. And saying, I forgive you. You know, another thing I realized about forgiveness is that forgiving someone and trusting someone are two different things. Forgiveness and trust are two very different things. Forgiveness is something I'm commanded to do. I don't have an option there. God says I have to do it because I've been forgiven. But trusting someone, that's earned. And that takes time, and that takes time to earn back once you've lost it. So I need to forgive because more so than any other reason, because I have been forgiven. Would you say that with me? I have been forgiven. The second reason that I should become a person of forgiveness is because, man, this is a big one. Unforgiveness can wreck my life. When we lived in Minnesota, we would constantly be driving back and forth to Chicago to visit family. And, you know, there's this huge stretch of highway between here and there and going through Wisconsin. And that can be brutal driving in the middle of winter. And I can't tell you how many times during the middle of winter we would see cars just all over the road. I mean, there were times that it looked like bowling pins scattered all over the highway. And I'll never forget one time in particular in the middle of winter we were driving and there must have been a 20 or 25 car pileup. It was unbelievable. I mean, it looked like something I'd never seen before in my life. It was probably one of the worst wrecks I had ever seen in my life. In Matthew 18, Jesus describes a person who had wrecked his life due to unforgiveness. There was a king. And this king was very wealthy. And the king had loaned a gentleman about $10 million. Say $10 million. Say, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. The king loaned this guy $10 million. Well, one day the king decided to call in his accounts. And when he did, this man came up to him and he said, King, I can't pay you back. I just don't have $10 million. And then he said, please have mercy on me. Just give me some time. I'll rearrange some things. I'll make it happen. You see, at that time, there was no such thing as chapter 11, okay? Chapter 13. I mean, if you don't pay back, you are in trouble. This guy was in a bad spot. So the king says, well, since you can't pay me back, I'm going to put you into slavery. And in fact, I'm going to put your wife into slavery. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put your children in there too, okay? See you later. Get out of here. And the Bible says that man, God came before that king and just began to beg with everything he had in him. He said, King, please have mercy on me, King. Have mercy on me. Please, please have mercy on me. And I'm not sure how it all happened. The scriptures tell us that king decided to forgive him of all of his debt, all $10 million canceled. Now, put yourself in that man's shoes. Can you imagine what he must have been feeling at that moment? I mean, okay, you owe $10 million. Your wife, and you got to go home, and you've got to tell your children and your wife that you're all going to be going into slavery. You may not even see each other for the rest of your life. And you decide to do the one and only thing you really can do, and that is to get down on your knees and beg. And all of a sudden the king says, okay, fine, you're forgiven of your debt. Wouldn't you just freak out? I mean, you would just be like jumping for joy. I mean, I don't know about you, but if that happened to me, I would hope and I would think that I would have probably some new perspective on forgiveness. I mean, I would think you would have like an entirely new appreciation, that's even an understatement, for forgiveness. But you know what? This man didn't. Do you know what he did? Jesus said that he left and he found a friend who owed him $17. $17! And he demanded it at once. And the guy who owed it to him said, I'm sorry. I don't have it. I just can't do it. And this man, we're told that the man who had been forgiven of this $10 million debt began to choke the guy. Seriously. He began to choke him. In fact, Roman law during that time said that if someone didn't pay you back the money that they owed you, you could actually choke them to death. Some of you are taking notes right now, I see. And this is Roman law, okay? And so the guy's being choked. I mean, it's a big deal. And finally, he ends up having this poor guy thrown into jail. Well, the king heard about this. The king got the guy together and basically just threw him into a group of torturers. And he experienced this like hell-like experience for what he had done. And so Jesus tells this whole story. And then at the very end of his story, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, he closes the story out by saying these words. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters in your heart. He says, if you harbor the hurt and resentment, if you hold unforgiveness in your heart, you will experience hell on earth. It won't be good. And I think that unforgiveness has the ability to start a chain reaction pileup that can wreck any person's life. I tell you, I've seen it myself. I've known people over the years who harbored bitterness and unforgiveness, and I've watched as it has wrecked their lives. And perhaps you're here today, and maybe you're hearing this story, and you're saying, man, you know, my life, I'm just sinking in my life. And I don't think this is necessarily the case for everyone, but I would say that maybe a question to ask yourself is there some unforgiveness in my life? And if so, God, what would be the step that you would have me take next? You know, another reason that God wants you and me to be people of forgiveness is because when I forgive, man, it sets me free. Man, when I forgive someone, man, it does something in my life that I can't get any other way. I mean, it sets me free. It clears my conscience. Have you ever had a bad conscience before because you did something wrong? Liars. See, you're going to have one now. Don't worry, God forgives you. And I'll think about it. Anyway, no, but when you forgive, it sets you free. It gives you a clean conscience. And on the other side of the coin, when you don't forgive, man, the conscience that you have to carry is really painful, very difficult. And not only does it clear your conscience, but I believe that people who forgive are people who live healthier lives. I really believe that. I believe that your life will be healthier if you are a person who pays out forgiveness on a regular basis. I mean, I'm not talking just spiritual health or mental health, although those things too, but I believe even physical health. And I'll tell you what, studies have been done. Go online, go to Google, type it in, look at it. I mean, study after study has been done. Stanford University Medical Center did a study recently. University of Maryland School of Medicine. Look up some of these and you will find, and studies suggest that there's a correlation between a person's physical health and forgiveness. Forgiving others also gives me a greater measure of humility in my life. It gives me a greater sense of who I am before God. You know, I on occasion people will say to me, you know, Scott, wow, Scott, you know, your dad must be really proud of you. You know, you're leading the church and the church is going well. And you know what I think when I hear that? I'll be really honest with you. First, I think thank you. I mean, I hope he's proud. But you know what? I'm very humbled by it because I don't even deserve to be a part of this incredible work. Because you know what? I know my failures. But I am here because I am hooked up with a forgiving God. And when we realize the forgiveness of God in our lives, when we realize what Jesus has done to secure our forgiveness, man, it makes us more and more humble in our lives. And when we forgive, we understand the failures of others in a different way. You know, instead of saying, what in the heck was this guy thinking of? Idiot, you know, we just sort of have a different perspective, a greater degree of understanding. Bottom line is this, forgiveness is the way. It's not the easy way. And I don't know why we have this idea that following Jesus is easy all the time. I think we've told ourselves that follow Jesus and your life will be a lot easier. You know, following Jesus is not always the easy way. Can I tell you what the easy way is? The easy way is to react out of your emotions. The easy way is to react and respond out of your flesh however you want. The easy way is to hold bitterness and unforgiveness in. The hard way is taking the steps in your life to release people and let people go. That's the difficult way, and that's why following Jesus can be very difficult at times. Here's what I want to do before we leave today. In just a moment, Amanda and Ken are going to do a song that we're all very familiar with. And as they do this song, I want you to use this as a time of reflection. I don't want you to look around. Maybe just close your eyes where you're at in just a moment. And I want to challenge you to reflect on a couple of things. First of all, here's a question for you. Where are you at with this whole forgiveness thing right now in your life? Have you accepted God's forgiveness in your life? I mean, perhaps you're here today and you need to open your heart up to God and you need to accept the forgiveness that is offered through His Son, Jesus. Here's a big one. Maybe you need to forgive yourself. This can be very hard to do. Maybe you've been beating yourself up and you've been living in the land of regret. Maybe you've been beating yourself up. God wants you to take a step of forgiveness today for yourself and recognize God's forgiven me and I've got to forgive myself. Maybe you fall into another category. Perhaps there's someone in your life that you need to extend forgiveness towards. Maybe it's a family member who's hurt you. Maybe it's an ex-wife, ex-husband, you know, who knows? I mean, whatever. It could be a friend who's betrayed you. Maybe it's someone you don't even know personally and you've taken offense and you've been affected by them. I don't know. Maybe it's me. I hope not. But remember what I said. Listen, it's not about waiting until you feel like forgiving someone. Forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. And here's something else I want to say. When it comes to forgiving someone, you are only responsible for yourself. If you go to someone with the gift of forgiveness and they reject that or they don't accept it, that's their deal. Because one day when you stand before God, you aren't going to be responsible for whether or not they accepted your forgiveness. But you are going to be responsible for whether or not you gave the gift of forgiveness. So in your living out of forgiveness, reconciliation is not necessarily the goal, even though that's, I think, God's best. But you know what? Forgiveness is the goal. Giving the gift of forgiveness is the goal. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and just reflect during this song. Heavenly Father, I think the responsibility we have when we hear a message, a talk like this, is that we can choose to walk out and just go back into our lives and say, well, that was a nice sermon. Or God, we can make a decision to respond how you might be dealing with us. And God, I just pray right now for every person here. I know that there are those here today who perhaps have never invited you into their life. They've never invited you to be the leader of their life. And so today I pray that they would reach out and they would invite you just by simply asking you to lead them to come into their lives. God, maybe there are those today who need to go home and make a phone call or need to make an appointment. I just pray that we would be sensitive and we would follow your leading. Because God, you want us to experience a very white Christmas. God, you want this Christmas to be the whitest Christmas we've ever experienced. So God, we thank you for the grace and the power and the ability, God, to move forward and do what you've asked us to do. And we purpose to do that today. We thank you and we pray and we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.